Chapter 7. This was the evening of the last day of Gordon Way's life, and he was wondering if the rain would hold off for the weekend. The forecast had said changeable, a misty night tonight followed by bright but chilly days on Friday and Saturday, with maybe a few scattered showers towards the end of Sunday, when everyone would be heading back into town. Everyone, that is, other than Gordon Way. The weather forecast hadn't mentioned that, of course. That wasn't the job of the weather forecast. But then his horoscope had been pretty misleading as well. It had mentioned an unusual amount of planetary activity in his sign, and it urged him to differentiate between what he thought he wanted and what he actually needed, and suggested that he should tackle emotional or work problems with determination and complete honesty, but had inexplicably failed to mention that he would be dead before the day was out. He turned off the motorway near Cambridge and stopped at a small filling station for some petrol, where he sat for a moment, finishing off a call on his car phone. "Okay, look, I'll call you tomorrow," he said, or maybe later tonight. Or call me. I should be at the cottage in half an hour. Yes, I know how important the project is to you, all right? I know how important it is, full stop. You want it? I want it. Of course I do. I'm not saying we won't continue to support it. I'm just saying it's expensive and we should look at the whole thing with a determination and complete honesty. Look, why don't you come out to the cottage and we can talk about it? "Okay, yeah, yes, I know. I understand. Well, think about it, Kate. Talk to you later. Bye." He hung up and continued to sit in his car for a moment. It was a large car. It was a large silver-grey Mercedes, of the sort that they use in advertisements, and not just advertisements for Mercedes. Gordon Way, brother of Susan, employer of Richard Macduff, was a rich man, and the founder and owner of Wayforward Technologies too. Wayforward Technologies itself had, of course, gone bust, for the usual reason, taking his entire first fortune with it. Luckily, he had managed to make another one. The usual reason was that he had been in the business of computer hardware when every 12-year-old in the country had suddenly got bored with boxes that went bing. His second fortune had been made in software instead. As a result of two major pieces of software, one of which was Anthem, the other, more profitable one, had never seen the light of day, Wayforward Technologies 2 was the only British software company that could be mentioned in the same sentence as such major US companies as Microsoft or Lotus. The sentence would probably run along the lines of, "Wayforward Technologies 2, unlike such major US companies as Microsoft or Lotus," but it was a start. Wayforward was in there, and he owned it. He pushed a tape into the slot on the stereo console. It accepted it with a soft and decorous click. And a moment or two later, Ravel's Bolero floated out of eight perfectly matched speakers with fine-meshed matte-black grills. The stereo was so smooth and spacious, you could almost sense the whole ice rink. He tapped his fingers lightly on the padded rim of the steering wheel. He gazed at the dashboard. Tasteful, illuminated figures and tiny, immaculate lights gazed dimly back at him. After a while, he suddenly realized this was a self-service station, and he got out to fill the tank. This took a minute or two. He stood gripping the filler nozzle, stamping his feet in the cold night air, then walked over to the small, grubby kiosk, paid for the petrol, remembered to buy a couple of local maps, and then stood chatting enthusiastically to the cashier for a few minutes about the directions the computer industry was likely to take in the following year, suggesting that parallel processing was going to be the key to really intuitive productivity software, but also strongly doubting whether artificial intelligence research per se, particularly artificial intelligence research based on the Prolog language, was really going to produce any seriously commercial viable products in the foreseeable future, at least as far as the office desktop environment was concerned. A topic that fascinated the cashier, not at all. "The man just liked to talk," he would later tell the police. "Man, I could have walked away to the toilet for 10 minutes and he would have told it all to the till. But I've been 50 minutes, the till would have walked away too. Yeah, I'm sure that's him," he would add when shown a picture of Gordon Way. "I only wasn't sure at first because in this picture he's got his mouth closed." "And you're absolutely certain you didn't see anything suspicious?" the policeman insisted. "Nothing that struck you as odd in any way at all?" "No, like I said, it was just an ordinary customer on an ordinary night, just like any other night." The policeman stared at him blankly. "Just for the sake of argument," he went on to say, "if I were suddenly to do this..." He made himself go cross-eyed, stuck his tongue out of the corner of his mouth, and danced up and down, twisting his fingers in his ears. "Would anything strike you about that?" "Well, yeah," said the cashier, backing away nervously. "I think you've gone stark raving mad." "Good," said the policeman, putting his notebook away. "It's just that different people sometimes have a different idea of what odd means, you see, sir. If last night was an ordinary night, just like any other night, then I am a pimple on the bottom of the Marquess of Queensbury's aunt. We shall be requiring a statement later, sir. Thank you for your time." That was all yet to come. Tonight, Gordon pushed the maps in his pocket and strolled back towards his car. Standing under the lights in the mist, It had gathered a finely beaded coat of matte moisture on it, and looked like, well, it looked like an extremely expensive Mercedes-Benz. Gordon caught himself just for a millisecond wishing that he had something like that, but he was now quite adept at fending off that particular line of thought, which only led off in circles and left him feeling depressed and confused. He patted it in a proprietorial manner, then, walking around it, noticed that the boot wasn't closed properly and pushed it shut. It closed with a good, healthy clunk. Well, that made it all worthwhile, didn't it? Good, healthy clunk like that. Old-fashioned values of quality and workmanship. Thought of a dozen things he had to talk to Susan about, and climbed back into the car, pushing the auto-dial code on his phone as soon as the car was prowling back onto the road. So if you'd like to leave a message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Maybe. Beep. Oh, Susan, hi, it's Gordon, he said, cradling the phone awkwardly on his shoulder. Just on my way to the cottage. It's Thursday night, and it's 8:47, a bit misty on the roads. Listen, I have those people from the States coming over this weekend to thrash out the distribution on Anthem version 2, handling the promotion, all that kind of stuff. And look, you know I don't like to ask you this sort of thing, but, you know, I always do anyway, so here it is. I just need to know that Richard is on the case. I mean, really on the case. I can ask him and he says, oh, sure, it's fine. But half the time, shit, that lorry had bright lights. None of these bastard lorry drivers ever dips them properly. It's a wonder I don't end up dead in a ditch. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Leaving your famous last words on somebody's answering machine. There's no reason why these lorries shouldn't have automatic light-activated dipper switches. Look, can you make a note for me to tell Susan, and not you, of course, Secretary Susan at the office, to tell her to send a letter from me to that fellow at the Department of the Environment saying, we can provide the technology if he can provide the legislation. It's for the public good, and anyway, he owes me a favour. Plus, what's the good in having a CBE if you can't kick a little ass? You can tell I've been talking to Americans all week. That reminds me, God, I hope I remember to pack the shotguns. What is it with these Americans that they're always so mad to shoot my rabbits? I bought them some maps in the hope that I can persuade them to go on long, healthy walks and take their minds off shooting rabbits. I really feel quite sorry for the creatures. I think I should put up one of the signs on my lawn when the Americans are coming, you know, like they have in Beverly Hills, saying armed response. Make a note to Susan, would you please, to get an armed response sign made up with a sharp spike on the bottom at the right height for rabbits to see. That's Secretary Susan at the office, not you, of course. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, Richard and Anthem too. Susan, that thing has got to be in beta testing in 2 weeks. He tells me it's fine, but every time I see him, he's got a picture of a sofa spinning on his computer screen. He says it's an important concept, but all I see is furniture. People who want their company accounts to sing to them do not want to buy a revolving sofa. Nor do I think he should be turning the erosion patterns of the Himalayas into a flute quintet at this time. And as for what Kate's up to, Susan, well, I can't hide the fact that I get anxious at the salaries and computer time it's eating up. Important long-term research and development it might be, but there's also the possibility, only a possibility I'm saying, but nevertheless a possibility which I think we owe it to ourselves fully to evaluate and explore, which is that it's a lemon. That's odd, there's a noise coming from the boot. I thought I'd just closed it properly. Anyway, the main thing's Richard, and the point is that there's only one person who's really in a position to know if he's getting the important work done, or if he's just dreaming, and that one person is, I'm afraid, Susan. That's you. I mean, of course, not Secretary Susan at the office. So, can you, I don't like to ask you this, I really don't, can you really get on his case? Make him see how important it is. Just make sure he realizes that Way Forward Technologies is meant to be an expanding commercial business, not an adventure playground for crunchheads. That's the problem with crunchheads. They have one great idea that actually works, and then they expect you to carry on funding them for years while they sit and calculate the topographies of their navels. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop and close that boot properly. Won't be a moment. He put the telephone down on the seat beside him, pulled over onto the grass verge, and got out. As he went to the boot, it opened. A figure rose out of it, shot him through the chest with both barrels of a shotgun, and then went about its business. Gordon Way's astonishment at being suddenly shot dead was nothing to his astonishment at what happened next.